I was about in grade 4 or 5. Grew up just being a part of what was happening here. And then I grew up and moved to Edmonton, like many of us do. And over the course of a couple of years, a good friend of mine, who a lot of you guys know too, Inge Latond, she ended up in Haiti for a few months in about 2004. So her and I started talking about going together, and then we said, let's stop talking about it already and let's go. So we somehow got a hold of the team there in Haiti and said, hey. And Inge was like, yeah, I have this friend. We want to come for a couple of months. Can we come? And they said, sure. So we went for a couple of months. And it was just a really amazing experience. And so that year I started praying, came back to Canada, and just started praying about if this was something that I wanted to do as far as going back, or if it was something that God was wanting me to do, and really wanting to know what it was. And at that time, I had actually moved back to Westlock. I was working in the physiotherapy department at the hospital in Westlock part-time, and I was working at Youth for Christ part-time. And so I was really, really, really busy doing all these things all the time. And I remember it was being Christmas time, and I was really involved in the Christmas program at this church that year. And one evening, I was leaving the Youth for Christ, and I backed up and hit a car, this random car that someone had left in the middle of the parking lot at 10:30 at night that's not supposed to be there. And I was like, no! So I like wrote a note and left it in the windshield. And then I was like, oh, I better get gas because I'm not going to have enough gas to get work tomorrow. So I went to the Shell station to go get gas, and it was really icy. And guess what happened? I slid into a car at the gas pump. So I went home, and I was just like in tears. And I was like, God, what is happening? Why are you letting this happen to me? I do not understand. And I will always remember, and I was relaying this story to a friend the other day, this like voice, like a very clear voice that said, Lori, I have been trying to get your attention, and you're so busy doing all these things, serving me or whatever it is you say that you're doing, that you're not paying attention to what you're asking me about. He's like, can you start getting ready to go to Haiti? Like literally that is what happened. And so that was when I started making plans to go to Haiti for a year. Well, a year happened, and just like this, it turned into 16. Yes. And it wasn't on my radar. I didn't have these big plans to go. I didn't, you know, have these big fangled plans of being a missionary. And even now, I really struggle with the word missionary. But I was just really excited to serve in this capacity, and it's been really amazing to see where God has brought me as a person, where he has brought me in my relationship with him, where he has brought this organization and continues to bring them. So today I'm really excited to share with you guys a little bit about that, and kind of what's happening in Haiti right now. We moved back to Canada a year ago, like 2 weeks ago. And it has been the most challenging thing I think I've ever done in my entire life, including living in Haiti for 16 years. It has been a huge journey and a huge learning curve for all of us, but we've all come really far, including me. And so it's fun to be able to step more into being a part of and working with the organizations that are connected with Haiti here in Alberta. And so we'll talk about that more in a little bit. So this is where we lived. For the last 10 years, we lived in a very old place for a long time, and then after the earthquake, God made a lot of mountains move and started to create this space. But we'll kind of come back to that in a little bit. Well, this is the button I'm supposed to push. Okay, so this is my family and I. They've all, well, not all of them. The girls are very annoyed because they haven't grown a foot since this photo, but the boys have grown a foot since this photo. And Logan, that little guy, is not with us in Canada. He was our little foster guy in Haiti, and he's still there. So the organization I worked with is called Haiti Children's Home. And when I first went to Haiti, I think I went to Haiti with these big rose-colored glasses on about orphanages and orphans and what I was going to do and all of these things. And God had a lot for me to learn. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So just so you kind of know where we are, If you don't know already, Haiti shares an island. It is an island, but it shares half of an island with the Dominican Republic. And if you follow that orange arrow across the board, that is where Mirabelle is, the town of Mirabelle. And that is where I had the privilege of working with the team there for the last number of years. Again, this is where we lived, and as you can see, it's really beautiful. This is rainy season, and so it's like everything is super uber green and beautiful. We kind of look like we're in the middle of mountains and there's nothing close to us, but we're actually beside a really big highway, one of the main highways, which is a love-hate relationship, I will say. But like lots of the gardens you can see up in front of here are part of our kind of sustainability projects, which I'll talk a little bit about more later too. This is the staff that we have at HCH. There's security guards, nannies, gardeners, maintenance people, house moms, directors, nurses. So this is kind of one of our last group pictures before we left. This is myself and two of our nurses. So the guy on the right is kind of like, I would say, similar to an LPN. And then the other nurse on the left is an RN, and I got to train her in the nutritional work program that I'll talk a bit about more later. So I worked with these two people a lot, and they're still there, thankfully, keeping everything going. Oh. Am I moving it, or are you moving it? Okay, well, I'll take it. I'll take it. Teamwork it is. So this is Jania and Emily and Aaron, and they've worked with us for between 5 and 10 years, and they're all still there, actually. We'll talk a little bit more about what they do, but they really work a lot with the national team there to keep things going. So we're going to talk about HCH first. HCH has kind of grown and branched. We're not just an orphanage anymore. We do a whole lot of other stuff. And part of the reason is that we actually decided a number of years ago that we wanted to change our focus to community care, supporting families and supporting kids in their families and in their communities. So about 4 years ago, we stopped taking new kids into Haiti Children's Home into permanent care. So now we only have 12 kids in our care, and we're working really hard to kind of keep diminishing that number with different programs. And we're still doing some adoptions. There are still some kids who do need adoptive families. And so we do have kids. So this is kind of the younger part of the crew, always ready for photo ops. This is Lane. He is our in-house greeter, friend of all, little guy. That's a little, okay, so this, a lot of our big boys are like pictures. Yeah, right, good luck with that. So these two gave me their permission to, so these were, this is Anev and this is Evan, and they're a couple kids that came into the orphanage like way at the beginning when I was first in Haiti, and they're 16 years old now, going into high school. And so we're working on some kind of plans for their future, what can happen for them in Haiti. They've kind of aged out of the adoption program. And so that's kind of a big part of what we're doing right now is really exploring what options there are in Haiti for them. That's the group at our yearly track and field event that we would put on. So this is Jenya. She taught my kids for 5 years. And she's kind of taken over along with one of our national staff named Guito. They kind of have taken over responsibility or taken on and grown it tremendously this last year, our sustainability program. So we have a whole bunch of chickens. We have 14 goats. We have a couple of cows, really trying to grow our own food. A lot is going on in Haiti right now, which has always been an issue, but just being able to access more of our own food, also providing jobs and providing opportunities for local farmers, and gardeners to learn and grow in their capabilities. And so stepping a lot more into those kinds of things there. And we have lots of gardeners in training. I think it's your turn. Okay. And we have little goat herders. The goat program has really been amazing for the kids. Just like seeing goats being born and seeing how their mothers care for them and then learning about how to take them out to the gardens to, be fed and frolic and do all those things and responsibility of bringing them in and checking them for disease and sores and all these kinds of things like that. So that's a really neat thing that is really new in the last year. Little goats, little kids. This is a wall project that we have on our property this last year. One thing that we have been working a lot on is just trying to develop more programs and opportunities for employability for local families. And so this was a project that was completed this year as well around our property. So a big thing that I want to talk about, as I kind of mentioned before, is that our focus in Haiti and what I did for a long time was take kids into care and train staff how to take care of kids, and we just did it all in-house. And then I had an experience, which I'm going to tell you about in a few minutes, that really kind of changed my perspective and made me realize that the most important factor for children to thrive in Haiti already exists, and it wasn't me. And I didn't bring it to Haiti, and I certainly didn't create it. And what that is, get ready for it, is coming. Oops, except we skipped it. It's not working as well. Can you go back? Yes. Oh, go back one more. And one more. Okay, so family. Family is something that already exists in Haiti that children need to thrive. And so we started stepping into more of what our organization could do to support that, to strengthen that, and to, just take it in a different direction than we were already going. Okay. I'm going to leave it to you. Got it? All right. Team. Okay, so scripture, life experience, and years of academic research all agree that children need love, a sense of belonging, the experience of family and connection to community in order to thrive into adulthood. So this is from an organization called Faith to Action Initiative, which we started working with a lot in the last year and a bit. And just being like, this is what we're doing, and these are the things that we can do. And so stepping more into that instead of being like, you're in a crisis, you don't have enough food, you don't have this, yes, I'll take your child. No, we decided that is not what we want to do anymore, if there's an option. Okay. So this is a Haitian family. Okay. This is a family that we've worked with for a lot of years. We'll talk to you a little bit more about them later. I think the last year, we've been hearing a lot about what's happening in Haiti, and we hear about gangs in Haiti, and we hear about no food in Haiti, and we hear about the lack of government in Haiti. Right now, there are no elected officials in Haiti, not a single one. We hear about problems and despair and all of these things. And yes, those things exist, but they are not Haiti. They do not define Haiti. These people are not gangs, these people are not poverty, these people are not these words that we think, oh, Haiti. And so if we leave with anything here today, this is one of the things that I really want you to take home with you, is that these are just people who love each other. And these are just people who deserve to be with each other. And it's been really amazing to see how God has led us and guided us, often without us even realizing what's happening in this direction. Okay. So we'll quickly go through here. There's three big threats to the family. One of them is violence. Keep going. One of them is trauma. And the other one is poverty. We were at a conference recently, and there was a man who grew up in an orphanage, and this was what he said. Go ahead. He said, there is no child poverty. There's only adult poverty, which rang so true for me. And so we're going to kind of quickly zip through these next little slides because I see time is ticking away on me. Yep, keep going. So there's lots of statistics, you can keep clicking, things will just keep coming, about what's happening in Haiti, because malnutrition is a really big issue, and that is one area that Haiti Children's Home has stepped into in our community a lot. We deal with a lot of chronically malnourished kids. Yep. You can keep going. a huge amount are underweight or anemic. That means they don't have enough iron in their blood. And they say there's anywhere between 500 and 600 people that die, whether they're kids or adults, every single day in Haiti from malnutrition. So that's a really big number. And that is one of the reasons, which we didn't know that number when we started doing this, but these are actually statistics, actual statistics. Yep, keep going. You can zip through all these things too. So these are just a whole bunch of different things that are threats to the family. And you could just pause there for a second. So it can be low food diversity. A lot of it is that only like 40% of babies are exclusively breastfed. There's lots of reasons for that. But what happened is that only 11% of babies and toddlers receive the minimum acceptable diet. And partially due to history in Haiti, partially due to perceptions, partially due to misconceptions. You can go ahead. Often the first option for a family is going to an orphanage and knocking on the door and saying, I don't have enough food. Can you take my child? My child is sick. Can you take my child? Okay. So this little girl is the little girl who started it all. Her mom came to the gate one day and banged on the gate, and I was in the clinic. And so the security came and said, hey, there's this mom at the gate with her child. So I said, okay. So I went to the front, and there was this mom with this little baby, and she had this black garbage bag with everything this baby owned. And I said, hey, how are you? And she said she was fine. And I said, okay, why are you here today? And she said, well, I came to bring my baby. And I said, okay, can you tell me more? And she just started weeping and had a really hard time telling me her story. But her story was that she's a single mom, has other kids, doesn't have any other support. She sells charcoal in the market. She can't go and sell at the market and take care of this baby. Someone else needs to raise her baby. And right then and there, I just had this sense that we have to do something different. Yes, I could take this baby and hand her to my trained staff, and where I have this room full of formula and all these beautiful beds and all these things. But I said, Lord, I'm going to do this thing, okay? And so I said, okay, if we were to provide you with formula, do you have somebody who could help you take care of this baby so you can still go to the market and sell what you need to support your family? And she's like, well, yeah, my mom is around. I think she could do it, but you would do that? And I said, yes. Yes, we would. And so literally on a wish and a prayer and okay, Lord, you got this? Okay. I said, okay, great. I'm going to send someone to town and they're going to buy a couple cans of formula and you're going to come every week. And that is how the milk program started. And then you go to the next slide. Then a few weeks later, this little girl came. And same thing, her aunt knocked on the door, said she needed to give this little girl to the orphanage. And I said, why? And she's like, well, can't you see she's sick? So you might look at this little girl and be like, oh, what a chubby little girl. She's not chubby. She's swollen up with protein deficiency malnutrition. So I quickly called a friend because at the time I didn't know a lot about it. I mean, I knew some from working in Haiti, but not a lot. And she said, you got to get this kid peanut butter stat. So I said, okay. So next photo, literally sent like three of our staff to town and said, buy any peanut butter you can find anywhere. We have to do something about this. So I had a really steep learning curve. Thankfully, God sent me, connected me with really amazing people. We can keep going. And this is on her in the orange. That's her a couple of years later. Keep going. So we started to treat kids that were dealing from marasmus. So that's when you're really, really skinny, don't have enough calories, and lose all your weight. Okay, keep going. And kids that are swollen up with kwashiorkor, which is like protein deficiency malnutrition. So they're both equally awful, and sometimes kids have both. Then a few years later, in Haiti, in northern Haiti, an organization did a whole bunch of research and started producing what's called Medica Mamba, for all you Haitians here. So it's a peanut-based protein replacement therapy. And so we were started to be able to get this in country. It's all measured. It's just an incredible, incredible thing that God led this woman to start studying and then producing in northern Haiti, also creating jobs for people. Okay, keep going. So just a little package like this. Yeah, you can keep flipping through. And the kids, sometimes they hate it at the beginning, but mostly they love it. And it's familiar because it's peanut butter. Okay, keep going. It's delish. You can keep going. So this is what's in one of those packages. Two McDonald's hamburger, an equivalent of this. 2 McDonald's hamburger patties, 8 pats of butter, half a chicken breast, 3 cups of milk, 1 small orange, 1 bunch of spinach, 9 asparagus spears, half a cup of olive oil, 1.5 medium carrots, and a partridge in a pear tree. So all of these things come in a little tiny little package, and depending on a child's weight and their nutritional status, they'll eat anywhere from 2 to 6 of those a day. Each one of those contains 500 calories. Okay, keep going. So we go from this, this is the same child. This is him the first day he came. This is him 1 week later, and this is him 2 weeks later. So that's just what the Mamba does. And it's literally like watching a miracle happen before your eyes. Okay, keep going. So this is more stories like that. So this is Samuel, and this is him on July 10th, and this is him on September 25th. Yep, keep going. This little boy was like literally lived across the road and like through the bush from us. Came to us in pretty deplorable position. And go ahead, this is him a month and a half later. Okay, keep going. So every 2 days a week we run this clinic. People come from everywhere. Some of them come from so far away. It is amazing how invested these parents and caregivers are in their kids. And so they come on in. We do education programming in the morning before clinic starts. Okay, go ahead. They all line up and, you know, find spots on the benches that we never have enough of. Okay, keep going. These are our nurses. They are really the rock stars of the program now. It was so fun to train them, and it's been so fun, so hard to be away. I miss this clinic so much, but it's been so amazing to see these rock stars. Like, they have just taken this program with their two hands and just like, phew, we're doing this thing. And they're always like, we could do this and we could do this. And it's just been amazing to see them like just, and they love it. They love seeing the kids. They're always referring kids, and it's just really incredible. Okay, keep going. Nenel is also, he's one of our nurses. And he does, he spends a lot of time praying with families, seeking out families, kind of finding where they're at spiritually. And every day at clinic, these group of families, no matter which group it is, because they're changing all the time, lately, they just want to be praying for their country. They see what's happening. They see that it's like they can't imagine something worse could happen, and it just keeps happening. And they see how it affects them. It affects their families. It affects their children. So that's been a big focus of clinic lately, is just taking time to pray together and pray for each other, realizing how fragile life is right now. Okay. That's Nenel handing out peanut butter. It's always counted. There's lots of checks and balances in this program. Okay, keep going. A lot of this is about building trust and building relationships. It's not just about like, here, take this. It's like, well, but like, why? Why wouldn't I just feed my kid this that I've already been feeding them and feed them this little tiny thing? Like, that makes no sense. And so talking to them, encouraging them to trust, and then them seeing the process and how their child changes. And as the child heals, they start to see that what we say is true. Even though it's very different from what people may be telling them, even though it doesn't really fit in with what they already know, and that is when those doors open to be able to speak truth into their lives about other things. But it has to come with relationship first. And so this clinic has been an amazing catalyst of building relationship and trust. And so this is Miss Roland. She's just making sure that a mom understands how much medicine she needs to give her daughter every day. Okay, keep going. We kind of zip through these photos a little bit. Okay, so here's a few things. We see a lot of kids. This is about in a month, so about 383 appointments. Doesn't mean that many kids, because some of them are kids that like come for repeat appointments. But this was in October of last year, or of this year. So there's 106 kids that we saw, which is getting to be a pretty big number for us, with all of the refugees coming from the city out into the mountains where we are. We're seeing a lot of displaced families and families that have lost their home, their small business, their school, their support system, and they're like literally living out of a small bag. And so their kids are malnourished, they're malnourished. And so there have been months where we're really overrun almost at clinic trying to meet the various needs. But we're still seeing kids graduate from the program, which blows our mind because there's so much going against these families, and yet they do it, and their kids flourish, and we start to wean them off the peanut butter, and we see that they're still gaining weight, and we're just like, yes! education works, support works. And so we see these families flourishing in that regard. Okay, we'll keep going. So the big reason that we do this is because families matter. And because we see that Haitian families deserve to know that they deserve to be a family, that their kids deserve to grow up with them, that they deserve to see their kids flourish, that their last experience with their child doesn't have to be them being very malnourished, very weak, very sick, but that they should have the privilege of experiencing their health and their joy and their running around and being a really big handful, as kids are no matter where they are. Okay, we'll keep going. There's a few other things that we've been doing to try and continue to support families and kind of zip through these. So we're working on these for this year, these food kits for Christmas, so families can have a big meal or two, hopefully, kind of towards the end of December, and January 1st is like the big holiday in Haiti. Okay. So sometimes getting supplies in Haiti has been really challenging this year. And so we've really seeing God's hand in bringing us together with other organizations who are also struggling to get supplies, and he has led us to some very unique ways to get our supplies. So sometimes we rent really the ugliest truck we can possibly find so that no bandits and nobody wants to look at our truck and get our stuff where we need to get it. But then sometimes the roads are shut, so we hire the motorbike guys, and we load them up with way too many pounds of supplies, yes, we know, and pay them to deliver stuff through other routes that are more accessible. And then sometimes when that doesn't work, we hire guys and their mules, and they literally walk stuff through the mountains to us or three other organizations that are actually kind of even harder to get to than us, to get supplies. We also, through our program, clinic program, we come across a lot of kids with complex medical cases that have often gone unseen for many months or even years. And so we're unfortunately right now unable to help a lot of these kids in the way that we used to because we can't get to major cities. Major cities are completely blocked by gangs. Hospitals have shut down. There's a really big problem in Haiti right now with brain drain, partially because of security issues. Lots of doctors, nurses, lab techs, trained hospital workers leaving Haiti, and also the Biden program in the United States. I don't know if you know about it, but you can sponsor people to leave Haiti really easily, and they all left, literally. We have this huge hospital in Mirabalais, and it's barely functioning now because all the doctors have left. There's one pediatrician for like 100,000 kids. So it's a huge problem, and we're overwhelmed, everybody is overwhelmed, but we just keep trying as we can. And hopefully next week we're going to send 8 kids with heart programs way up to the north. So we're excited that we're just finding creative ways to do things. So we'll keep going. We do educational programs, again, for families that we see are I can't think of the word that I want right now. just families that need support, families that are possibly at risk of being separated for things like education. So this program has grown over the years. We're about to 100 kids now that we send through school. Okay, we'll keep going. You can keep going. Okay. Yep, and so these are just a bunch of pictures of families that we serve. These are what families look like. They look a lot like our families. They have a lot of needs like our families. You can keep going. And we just love seeing families together. We love to see families taking pride in their kids. Families taking pride in themselves when they're like, I did this. I took the medicine. I listened. I learned how to do it. I learned what to look for. And I told my neighbor because I thought her child looked like mine, and I brought her to clinic. And they're so proud of it. And we're so proud of it. And we're excited because it becomes a community thing then. Yeah, we'll keep going. This is the same little dude. Always have before and after pictures if you're like, so don't get stuck on the picture. Get stuck on the wow picture. Okay, we'll keep going. And some of them are just beautiful, and this is what we want their parents to see. This is what we want their families, their grandmas, their brothers and sisters to see. So this is Natalie. She was a little girl that came with protein deficiency malnutrition. This is her a couple weeks ago getting her picture taken for school. And this is her with her family. Their life is not easy. The challenges and mountains seem endless, but they're together, and they delight in one another, and they delight in the people around them, and they bring people to us all the time. quickly kind of talking about what's happening politically in Haiti right now. This was the president of Haiti who was assassinated a couple of years ago, which has just led Haiti into complete and utter chaos. We'll keep going. So again, that orange arrow is where we live. Where the red is kind of where everything started. That's the Port-au-Prince area. And it kind of went up the coast. That's the yellow. And then in the last couple of months, where that red arrow is going up and down, that's the border between the Dominican. There's been a ton of hostility there. Really awful, actually, things happening there. And that border has been pretty closed, which is a huge problem in terms of supplies, accessing medical care, medicine. And so we're kind of like smushed in like this, which is why hopefully next week we're going to go way up there with some kids to a clinic where they've transferred all their care from southern Haiti up to northern Haiti. So it's creative. It's a way longer trip. It's way more complicated. But God continues to open doors and continues to give people strength and tenacity to keep working and really pivot, like continue pivoting and be really creative about how they do things. Okay, we'll keep going. So talking about displaced people, sometimes in Mirabelle, we see people coming off of trucks and vans and stuff like this from Port-au-Prince or other areas that have had like a big insurgence of gang activity in their area. And this has been a really huge, really humanitarian crisis in Haiti recently. This is about food prices, just talking about the whole problem of nutritional challenges for families. Keep going. I know we have a really big problem with inflation here, but I just want you to point out that in Haiti, it's 46% this year, in 2023. It is astronomical. It is, I don't even know what to say, because it just makes you feel sick. And so this is what families are dealing with. It's challenging, and it's also challenging for us to try and meet the needs when we just, the prices of everything that we can get in country is just through the roof. Okay, we'll keep going. This crisis has kind of been down. I know that I've asked for prayer about this before in the past. This is a bunch of people waiting for the gas truck to come to the gas pump. Gangs have taken over fuel ports a number of times in the last couple of years. And so if a lot of Haiti is dependent on generators because there's really, really bad government-controlled electricity, it's really unreliable. It surges all the time if you ever get it. And so people rely on this. Also, people have motorbikes for their jobs. Those are what are taxis. And so this has been a big ongoing crisis as well. Last year, I can't remember if I talked about this a little bit briefly last year when I was here, but last year we actually sent guys to meet people who were floating big plastic rubber barrels of fuel from the Dominican Republic down the river across the border, and then going and buying it by the empty oil jug so that we could make sure that we had power at our place for security issues. So again, being really creative. These are things that the effects of them are, like, there's a big domino effect, but just kind of wanted to highlight that a little bit too. Okay. So this is one of the families that we serve. And if you look, it says 1 + 1 + 1 = 6, and you're like, Lori, come on. Like, do your math. This is because this is a mom that has been in our program for the last couple of years and has overcome astronomical things in her life, mountains of challenges, and has had all of these kids in 3 pregnancies. Triplets on her lap and twins on the left and her first little girl on the right. But these kids are all in school. These kids are all learning to read and write, well, especially Christelle on the right because she's older. This mom is so proud of her kids. She just, like, delights in the fact that her kids go to school, because she never went to school one day in her entire life, ever. But all of her kids are going to school. Christelle can read to her. Christelle can, like, pull open her little brothers and sisters' books and be like, what's this? And they have a discussion about it. And her mom is just like, she's so happy about it. Like, she's just so proud of them. And her life is, it's so hard. Everything she does is so hard. It's a fight every single day. But look at those kids. Look at, they're really chubby. They're doing really well. And they're with their mom. And so we love this. This makes us so happy for them. And so this is really what HCH has really stepped into a lot is family work. We're working a lot on growing that and making it better. It's a really big job. It's really hard. We fall on our faces and like, that did not work. Back to the drawing board. But we believe in the importance of families. We believe that God made families. And we have the privilege of him allowing us to like walk alongside of him and support these families. Okay, so there's just a few things kind of about, so Haiti Children's Home is what it's called in Haiti, and then Haitian Children's Aid Society is the like Alberta umbrella organization here in Alberta. So these are a bunch of different things that we're kind of working together this year towards that I get the privilege of being a part of too from here as we kind of figure out all of these things moving forward. Working with programs that we're already doing, growing these programs, doing a lot of displacement stuff for refugees and trying to figure out how to step into that better and how and all of that stuff. Kind of talked about the brain drain thing and the medical issues that we're seeing more and more in clinic because there isn't anywhere to go. Working on really the continued development of our national team and leaders in Haiti. That's been one of the best things about this year for me. Being away from Haiti has been insanely hard. I had no idea how hard it would be. It's really hard. Why is it hard? Well, great question. What's that? I do. I miss, well, I mean, it was my life for 16 years. Thank you. I think the thing that's hard about being away is I think so much of who God formed me into being was there in Haiti. And I think knowing very well how he used me in ways and helped me to learn things about myself and about the way that we serve as foreigners. And it's just like you have your heart in two completely different places, right? And just really your whole perspective of life and the lens through which you see everything for myself has changed so much. And so while there's so much familiar about being back in Canada, it has been very disfamiliar. And so I think that's a big part of it. Being able to step into some of these things, these are some of the big things that we're focusing on. I don't know if you had a chance to kind of zip through them. I'm way past my time. I hear the sound of little feet coming down the stairs. This is Emily and I. We got to meet in Tennessee this summer working with this organization called the Haiti Family Care Network. And so just continuing to grow those things and connecting with other organizations who are doing these similar kind of work. Okay, we'll keep going. So these are just some things that we're working together within our organization and with other organizations that we're partnering with. This is really exciting for me, just seeing how we get to step out beyond our little world inside of the orphanage and step into all of these things, working with local churches more, working with government in our area more in different ways, and just providing supports to families in ways that we haven't been able to before but are stepping into. Okay. So you can zip through these. So these are some things that we were going to pray about that I would like to ask you guys to pray about. So for peace in Haiti, for leaders, and for healing, there is so much trauma in Haiti. It's so deep, it's so complicated, it's prevalent, it's palpable. There's so much healing needed in the country of Haiti. Praying for the staff and children at Haiti Children's Home for wisdom regarding safety and regarding supplies and all those things that we need. For HCS here in Alberta for funding to be able to keep supporting these programs and the partnership development that they're working on. For preservation and strengthening of families to continue to be a priority and for it to continue to find the best ways to do that. And that the relationships and trusts that we are building with these families will ultimately point them to Jesus, because that's really the point of all of this. You know, helping a child who is in a crisis, a nutritional crisis, is really important at the moment, but it doesn't really, really matter until one day they find Jesus. And so that these relationships and this trust will just keep pointing people to Jesus, the love that he has for them and the life that he has for them. And then just supporting HCH, there's a lot going on there. And I put in my fancy thing, I was so proud of myself, share. That just means, like, tell people about it. Tell people about HCH. Tell people about this organization that's working to support families. Tell people about something different that you heard today that maybe challenged something that you thought about differently today. Okay, so this is our kind of last slide. I talked to John, wherever he is. I just want to take a little bit of time to pray together for these things. And I would love if you guys would be willing to keep praying about them at home, with your families, with your friends, with your prayer groups. These are really big things that Haiti needs prayer for. And it sometimes feels like overwhelming, and we don't see how Haiti is going to get out of this particular situation that it's in. But we serve a really mighty God, and I don't understand his plans, and I don't understand his time, but I do trust him. So I just ask that you trust him with me. And yes, if you would pray for these things with us, that'd be really great.
Thank you, Lori. I'm going to ask any of the leadership that's here, Keith. Maybe a couple of the deacons come on up. Let's pray for Lori and pray for some of these things that she's facing. Come up here, Lori. I'm on a tether here.
You're on a tether.
I don't know if you noticed that she did about 3 sermons this morning. That's Lori's ability. God has blessed her with, administration ability. And I never cease to be amazed at you. By the way, I've been very connected to Lori West's family for quite a few years. Her brother Caleb, he worked with me. Nathan worked with me for a year. And my sister Laura...
Daughter Laura.
Thank you. See, she's got it. My daughter Laura and Lori here is our good friends. So let's pray for him. Keith, I'll get you to start.
Lori. Let me think of how to pray, Lord. We're almost overwhelmed, but we thank you, Lord, for Lori. We thank you for the innovation and insight that you have given to her. And then poverty is such a overwhelming thing. It just is. Thank you, Lord, for the perspective and purpose that you've given to them, Lord, to reach these little kids so that they come to faith in Jesus Christ, the ultimate end, so that they end up with eternal life forever in heaven with you, Lord, because you love them. Thank you for placing that deep love in Lori's heart, so evident. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon them and for the things that are going forward in Haiti, Lord. You are the God of miracles. And so, Lord, we look for a miracle. We pray for the orphanage, Lord, that they might continue to reach, and the great word is families. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for that. And Lord, how do we pray? Lord, touch the hearts of all of our people here today. Yeah. I think of a little girl that I saw in India laying on the street in dirt. And he is so often like that, Lord, but you love all those little kids. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you and lift Lori up to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, your powerful name. Amen.
Father, we lift up Lori. to you. Give her many blessings, Father. Allow her to keep her innovation or innovative ideas going. We pray for a blanket of protection around the mission area. And we also lift up that country, that you find the proper leaders to guide those people back and reduce all of the carnage that is happening down there, Lord. So many blessings to Lori. Thank you for letting her speak today and open our eyes and our hearts. In your name.
Father God, we thank you that we can lift up Lori to you. Thank you for the ministry that you have given her and are giving her as she does it remotely. So, Lord, we do pray for the peace over there with the Dominican Republic. And it's a rich country, but it's being destroyed by all this satanic activity. I pray that you'd raise up strong, godly leaders for the country, locally and also for the whole country. I pray for the families, as their focus over there has been to enable the families to supply the necessary food and protection and schooling for their kids. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to strengthen. But I also pray, Lord, for Lori and the challenges that she has with her children here. Thank you for them. We pray that you protect her by your good name and protect her from the evil one and all the kids. And Lord, pray for healing. Pray for the healing of hurts and just all the things that have happened over there. And Lord, we do need healing in this country too, that there'll be a turning to you. So Lord, we lift up Lori to you. Thank you for her. Bless her, we pray, with an extra special strength and endurance that she needs at this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Pray for her family, please. Just about a whole row.
We are a whole row.
Yeah. Kelly, where's Kelly?
I'm right here.
Do you have another song to finish up?
I do, if you want one.
Let's sing. Hey, we've got lots to sing about, so let's do it.